Well, today, while we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany of our Lord, it is not quite the Epiphany. The Epiphany happens on January 6th. Today is actually the 10th day of Christmas. You know, there's 12 days of Christmas. Today is the 10th day of Christmas. So to honor both the Epiphany of our Lord and the 10th day of Christmas, I want to offer 10 reasons why I think Epiphany is amazing, why I love the Epiphany of our Lord, why it's my favorite festival in the yearly cycle of the church. So here we go. The top 10 reasons why you should like the Feast of the Epiphany. Number 10. For me, growing up in an evangelical Pentecostal context, I didn't realize there were so many other ways to celebrate the life of Christ. I knew about Christmas and I knew about Easter, and because we were Pentecostal, I knew about Pentecost, but I didn't know. I had no idea there were so many other ways to celebrate the life of Christ until I entered the Anglican Church. The Epiphany was a new thing for me, and that's when I first realized that Anglicans love to celebrate. We love to get together and have parties, to drink good wine, to eat good food, to celebrate Jesus and one another in community. And yes, we can't do it in such a wonderful way right now because of COVID, but Epiphany is all about coming together and celebrating. Isn't that wonderful? Number 9. The Epiphany is like the final point in this great Christmas story. Christmas, yes, it's 12 days, but even more so, it's the conclusion of a long Advent season, isn't it? So we have Advent when we prepare for the coming of Christ, and then we have Christmas, we celebrate the Christ child who is born. And then we have 12 days to celebrate, then on January 6th, we get to finish that story when the Magi come and offer Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. It's like a storybook ending to the best stories in Scripture, the birth of Jesus. Number 8, those magi. We translate, and even in our Scripture reading this morning, we translate into magi into wise men, but magi in Greek is magoi, magi. And do you know what? This is what I like about it. No one really knows what that means. Some suggest out of the story that they were astrologers or at least astronomers of some sort. So they were stargazers and trying to figure out the seasons and the signs of their day. But we do use the root of magi in other more exciting words in our day, like magician. Imagine if the magi were magicians. Doesn't that give some sense of excitement to this story? Now, the other thing I like about the Magi is that they're not really numbered. Yeah, we have that song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," but we don't know how many Magi there were, and we also don't know the gender of the Magi. And this is a challenge. This is a wonderful challenge for all you artists out there to represent the Magi for today. Yes. Yes, include the famous three kings if you like, but grow the family. Let's see the three queens. Let's see the children magi. Let's see magi representative of all the nations of the world. Because that's really what the artists in the past tried to do. You would see magi with different colored skin representing different nationalities coming to Jesus as a child. The whole world coming to Jesus through the Magi, these magicians. Oh, number 8, I love the Magi. Now, related to this is number 7, why I think you should like the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. It's a personal story. I was visiting Germany one summer. Oh, no, it wasn't one summer. It was one January with my cousins. And they had to go off to Switzerland to visit some friends. And so I was off on my own. I wondered, what should I do? And I was in Germany and I looked on the map. I was like, oh, I'm going to go to Cologne, Germany. I've never been there. It looks wonderful. And so I went to Cologne, took a train. And as I got off this train, I saw this enormous cathedral open up in front of me, the Köln Cathedral. It was all dark from years and years of soot etched into those stones. And it was January 6th. I walked into Köln Cathedral and it was filled with families and children, all dressed like little kings. All of these children in pageant clothing, dressed as kings. And I thought, this is amazing. I want to go to a church where we invite children just to come and be dressed up. It's why my favorite way to do pageants is just to invite people to wear whatever they want to come to church on Christmas Eve. And we can have dinosaurs at the nativity. We can have orcas at the nativity. We can have shepherds at the nativity. It doesn't matter. All because I went to Köln on the Epiphany. Now, one of the magical things about Köln Cathedral is that right at the front, elevated high so everyone can see, is this golden sarcophagus, this golden tomb. And inside this tomb, supposedly, are the remains of the three magi. So here I was in Köln Cathedral on the Feast of the Epiphany, surrounded by families with their children, all dressed up like the three kings, all gazing onto the relics of the three kings in history. I was blown away. And then, oh my goodness, as the Mass started and the priest intoned the words of the Eucharistic prayer, as he elevated the bread and then the wine, there was vibrations because the enormous bus-sized bells began to toll in that great cathedral. Boom, boom. And I felt like I was part of something magic. That's number seven. Number six, why I think you should like the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. The Epiphany is the whole gospel story rolled into one. Here in Advent, God promises us a friend and a helper through the people of Israel. And then at Christmas, Jesus is born and is revealed to be that friend and helper, not just for Israel alone, but because of the Epiphany for the whole wide world. In the Epiphany, we have the whole gospel story rolled into one story. If anyone ever asks you, why are you a Christian? What is the story of being a Christian for you? Just say, let me tell you the story of the Epiphany. God promised a friend and helper. God gave a friend and helper, and that friend and helper is for the whole wide world. Number five. Did you know that there's a thing called the king cake, where you can make a cake or purchase a cake, and inside that cake is a little figurine, often of a baby. And as they cut up the pieces of the cake and hand out the pieces of cake to one another, the person who gets the piece of cake that has that baby becomes the king for the evening. Oh, becomes the one who has to make the cake for the next year. But even more importantly, becomes the one who has to plan the Mardi Gras party. That party which leads us into the great Lenten feast and reminds us again that we Anglicans, we Catholics, we love to celebrate and to party. We don't have a king cake in the tradition of St. Dunstan's. I don't think St. Andrew's has a tradition of a king cake, but if you would like to start one, let's do it. Because really, we're looking for people to plan our next party. Anglicans love to celebrate. Number four. And this is from Isaiah, from our reading this morning. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. In the Epiphany, we are reminded that God visits us both in darkness and in light. At the midnight and at the midday, God is there, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love and presence of God. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but my goodness, globally, aren't we going through something that we might describe as darkness? God is even there. God is in the dark. God is in the light. That's the Epiphany. Number three, why you should love the Epiphany. This is from the Psalm. May the new ruler of the people defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. For this king delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy from oppression and violence. He redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. In the Epiphany, we have a glimpse of God, who is the deliverer and the helper of the poor, the one who gives the poor justice, the one who defends the poor, the one who delivers the needy. This king, this new ruler who God has given us in Jesus Christ, is the helper to those who have no helper. God cares even about the blood of our very bodies. That's why I love the Epiphany. Number two, from Ephesians, a reading from this morning. Paul writes that the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Gentiles are fellow heirs. And here I speak quite personally and probably on behalf of most of us listening right now. We are a participant through Jesus Christ in God's future for the world. We are knit together in the same tapestry of the saints of old. The plan of God for this world is to bring us all together. God's plan is not just to reward the few or the elite. It is the future of the entire world God is concerned about and interested about, and we can never forget it. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs means that we are not Christians for ourselves alone. The Epiphany means that we are followers of Jesus for the world. We live and move and have our being by the grace of God for the benefit of the world, to ease the world's suffering, to invite the excluded to participate in our community, to support the exhausted, to bring hope to the ones who are giving up, to open our hearts to the whole wide world. We meet virtually, yes, but we meet not even virtually for ourselves, but to pray for this world, to be reminded of the stories of God which are for the world, to be blessed and become a blessing for the world. Gone are the old religions in the Epiphany, which benefited the few at the expense of the elite. Gone are the old religions that were all about the prosperity of one's own self. Now, at the Epiphany, is the gospel of God for the world. God loves you and has come to help you and has brought us together to do the same, to help others. On the Feast of the Epiphany, we look out our windows and say, I am coming, dear world. I am coming in the name of God to be your friend and helper as God is my friend and helper. And finally, number one, the last reason why I think you should love the Epiphany, and this is from the Gospels. We read, in the time of Herod. In the time of Herod. Throughout history, there is always a Herod. That is, someone who responds to God with fear and tries to stifle God's plans in this world. Why do they do this? Because they hate God? No, I don't think so. Rarely is the hate of God that a motivation for these Herods. Rather, it is because the Herods of the world have conflated their position of power with the belief that God must be on their side because they are in power. They make decisions that crush the spirits of the poor and justify it by saying, God made me Herod, therefore what I do is right. Their conviction of this lie blinds them from their actions, and they lift heavy burdens and place them on the shoulders of their people while easing their own burdens. They end up serving themselves and their cronies to maintain power and become suspicious of any other power that might threaten their grip on their world. But God is not on their side. God is not on the side of those who, out of fear, prop up their leaning tower of power. They will not endure. Instead, God will bring overwhelming joy to those who have been beat up and bruised under the future leadership, the fearful leadership of the Herods of the world, the people who have journeyed to find a ruler more powerful than the Herods of the world, who follow the star of their hope and their faith. They will find themselves at the threshold of the house of God, where inside they will find a child, a baby, a powerless one who will enrapture them and give them the courage to take a new way that does not require them to participate in the vile violence of the Herods of the world any longer. This is God's epiphany, God's secret revealed to the world, that fear and violence that comes from it will not have the power over our hearts anymore. But God will guide us into a new way of being, of leading, of serving, of worshiping. Jesus Christ, our friend and helper. Amen.